Today's Leading Women, episode 645, with the wonderful Anna Choi.
Women all over the world, get ready for inspiring and empowering interviews from women at the top of their field who are kicking butt in their business and who are prepared to share shocking revelations from being in the limelight. You are now listening to Today's Leading Women with Marie Grace Berg.
Podcast your passion. Yes. Did you know you can podcast your passion, make a difference, and make money talking about what you love talking about? That's how I get to do what I'm doing, talking to wonderful women every day here at Today's Leading Women. Want to learn how I did? Go to podcastyourpassion.com. That's www.podcastyourpassion.com. Yes, women of the world, let's get started. I am delighted to introduce you our amazing guest for today, Anna Choi. Anna Choi is the founder of Joy Sprout Productions, is an event planning consultant, coaching cost-driven leaders on how to attract their tribe, build community, and create thought leadership through live events that foster social change. She's produced over 200 professional development events in the last decade, including TEDx Bellevue, Creativity Symposium for Women Leaders, and Ignite Washington. Anna is dedicated to serving clients who are passionate about building stronger communities through impact investing and social impact events with a focus on gender equality. To learn more, visit www.joysproutproductions.com. Again, that's www.joysproutproductions.com. Women of the world, Miss Anna Choi, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
I am delighted to have you in the show, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. So Anna, I really love what you are doing with your business, especially with Joy Sprout Productions. Love that name as well. You are a success in your own right. You put in the effort, you know, the sweat equity, the knowledge and experience to build a special business you call your own. As a result of that, our listeners really want to get to know you, and I want to provide that conduit, you know, that bridge between you and our listeners. So here are some cool questions that we can talk about. Feel free to comment anytime about them, but these are just general questions I have in mind. So let's start with your business. You know, there might be people out there who want to start one and have no clue how to go about it. Can you tell us more about your business and idea behind that niche?
Absolutely. So Joy Sprout Productions, we are event consulting for cause-driven leaders. And the idea behind that niche is I am passionate about being able to make a social impact through the service that I'm providing. And so I was very strict on not just doing weddings or doing corporate events or multi-day conferences, but specifically professional development and thought leadership-driven events that would cause some sort of social impact. So they can be, I work with a lot of social entrepreneurs who are looking to profit and make a difference in the world. And I actually don't work with as much nonprofits or just purely for-profit. So I've developed a bit of a niche there.
I love what I'm hearing about your business. I love this niche that you've carved out. I love that you're sharing that one with us. But what continues to inspire you doing this business?
Yeah, I used to be a financial planner with my own practice, and I sold that after 5 years. It was right during 2008. And I got very jaded by our economy, not because of what was happening, but there just was a major lack of accountability at the top, as far as where, not just like tax dollars, but just in general, our financial system was solely based off profit. And so I vowed I would transform the economy and have an economy based not just solely on profit, but on humans and on human happiness alongside profitability. And that's where the social enterprise and the being a social entrepreneur emerges from. It's having both of those things at the same time.
Yes, I love what you are sharing with us about mixing that social, being a social entrepreneur, social enterprise, because you're mixing both business and social cause, or the impact. It's not just for profit. You are creating an impact. You are making those difference. You are making a difference in other people's lives because of what you do. And that really is what is inspiring with being an entrepreneur, because you can really impact in large scale. So thanks for sharing that. Now let's talk about what or how you prepared for success that turned this idea or that turned this inspiration into a reality. Can you share our listeners what are some of your personality traits or your top three personal qualities that help you become a successful entrepreneur that our listeners can learn from?
Yeah, I mean, to the point you're just talking about, I think it's... I'm going to digress from what I thought I might say here. I think it's very important to be looking at both the bottom line and what I call, it's like the triple bottom line, and nowadays it's evolved to the quintuple bottom line, you know, people, planet, profit, among other factors when you're starting up. You have to be resourceful, so that's something I definitely leaned on. How can you, when I would do an event, basically negotiate free venues, negotiate free speakers, but still maintain top of the line quality experiences. And that just takes the second, you know, trait would be just being a risk taker and being willing to face your fear. And I always have fear, and I don't, that never goes away, but you got to just be willing to take that, and financially being willing to take that. You know, we had set aside several months, you know, before starting out of income, so I just didn't have to be on the line all the time and have that desperation in the background or anything, and I could just really provide value and quality to clients. And the last thing that I'm always looking for is as a trait that's, I think, made me successful is being able to be a connector. This is not everybody's strength, but for me it is, and I derive a lot of pleasure from really listening for what's of value for the other person. And for some people, it is connection. For others, it's a resource or new clients or whatever. But when I connect, I really am looking for how I can make a difference. And it may not be at that time, but down the road. But I just want every interaction with me to be valuable. They have that experience.
Mm-hmm. So that's being resourceful, being a risk taker, and a connector. Great qualities here that Anna just shared with us. And the good news is that we can all cultivate and adapt them into our lives and into our business as well. Yep. All right, let's talk about what happened when you started your journey as entrepreneur. You know, as entrepreneurs, we face daily challenges that define our being, and to get to those challenges takes a very special person, and our audience wants to know that special person in you. So what have been your biggest challenges building your business, and how have you addressed or overcame those barriers to success that a lot of women entrepreneurs face today?
Yeah, I think the first one is I assumed that doing what I love would lead to money. You hear it all the time, especially in our culture. Just follow your passion and do what you love and you can make money. And while I think that is true for some, I just don't prescribe to that. That's how it has to be. There's a lot of different pathways to be able to get to that balancing point where you both are making the money you want to and beyond, as well as doing what you love. So you've got to really, you know, that was my challenge is you know, going after a very, very specific niche with a specific group of people, almost like too niche to the point that there may not be a market. And then also being able to do what the market needs, which for in my field was just basic event planning, you know, the logistics, the ticketing, like people don't want to deal with that. It's not sexy, but it's what, you know, pays. So you gotta, I think just that's one challenge to constantly balance between doing what sells and what without selling yourself, but also doing what you love. And then other challenges are, I think, not trusting myself. I paid thousands of dollars for coaching. I actually still completely believe in coaches and business coaches, and I am a business coach in terms of having an event, being an event consultant. But I just assume that if you pay more money to somebody, you're going to get more value and that's not necessarily the case. It can be, but you know, it's really just about, you got to trust yourself to a certain point to move forward and find a coach or a mentor or whoever that matches what you need at that time. And some of my best coaching work, they were free. They were just they were mentors or other business women that were just offering to support me. And then the third biggest challenge, I think, was just how much risk do I really want to take? So I'm the sole breadwinner in my family. My husband is a stay-at-home dad, and I have a four-year-old son and a house, a mortgage, and a reputation, etc. So I just had to really look at, okay, to what degree when I'm starting up here, am I willing to go in the hole or, you know, go month to month or whatever? So I think I will share this on the air, but I, you know, at one point we were like on food assistance. That's how much risk I was taking. And that, you know, I think people get taken away with being an entrepreneur, super sexy, and you get to do what you want when you want. But there's like, you know, you don't have to do what I did, but there's a cost to it and a huge risk. And so to what degree are you willing to go? And for me, that was too much. And so within 30 days, and that the last coach that I had had, who was a huge contribution, I was able to generate several thousand dollars in a 30-day period, get back completely on track, and, I mean, turn things around. But anyway, so that's just something I think you have to look at, is how much risk. And
yeah, I mean, I really love how you really presented, how you really shared the truth, the reality of what it is. Because a lot of people, especially for listeners out there who are just starting out, a lot of us are with the idea that, okay, being an entrepreneur is about freedom, about the flexibility. Well, yes, those are the perks of being an entrepreneur. But to get there, there are risks to be made. There are challenges to be overcome. There are steps to do. There are energy, time, everything that you have to put into to be able to get there. So I love that you shared that one with us, especially for our listeners out there who are just starting out or who are just thinking of going into entrepreneurship. The lessons that you just shared, I mean, I love what you said about finding the balance between following your passion and what is that is profitable. I mean, this is so huge. I know we have been bombarded with people saying, okay, just follow your passion, the money will, you know, will follow. I mean, I know passion is a great part of doing our business, because otherwise, if you're not doing something that you are you love or enjoy, you won't have that drive to continue doing it despite all the challenges. So let's learn from these challenges that Anna just shared with us and how she was able to overcome them so that when they do happen to us, we now know what to do.
Yeah. And sorry, I'm just going to make one more point, because I think this is critical for any entrepreneur to know. So I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. I've never had a job for the last like decade. And, you know, it was in financial planning, it was in event planning, in different areas. And I've been a stay-at-home mom, you know, I've been all over the place. But there's nothing wrong with, you know, especially when you're starting out, to have both a job and a startup and like transition that over and to actually make the jump when you're ready and have the money. I think far too many people think they just quit like a really high paying, well, tech job or whatever, especially in Seattle. And then, you know, then are stuck, you know, and they put themselves in a bind. And, you know, with my clients, like one of my clients has a nice job, makes, you know, six figures already, and has now, you know, within 3 months secured the same amount of money working with me, because to be able to safely make that leap over. And it's not like you have to do it that way, but you really don't I just want to destroy that myth that you know, if you're a startup, oh yeah, you're just going to go for broke or something. Like, you don't have to do it that way. And that's, you know, a lot of this is from this book, Wealth Dynamics by Roger Hamilton, where I finally got the permission that it's okay to have a job and a business. It doesn't mean I failed as a business owner or as an entrepreneur, but, anyway, if anything, there's a super great synergy between the two. So just want to put that in.
That is so huge. That is so important that you've shared that one. I mean, because yes, I know. I mean, that's what I did myself too, because I was scared. I mean, part of that one is because I was scared of the security, but at the same time, I wasn't ready to really live behind the security that I had. While I know that there are going to be expenses incurred in building a business, and that it will, that I know that it will take time to get to that point that you are profitable. So for our listeners out there, especially if you are starting out, be okay with it. Stay with your job. Do this business on a part-time basis. Do it on the side while you are working. So that security, you know, that would reduce the tension, the stress, the financial stress that you experience. Had that you not have that security of a financial cushion, for example, from a job that you have, or a financial cushion that you have set on the side. So that's really important that you noted that one. Great tip there. All right, let's just switch gears for a little bit and talk about work-life balance. You know, being a business owner myself, maintaining a work-life balance is so crucial to overall success in life. Now, the challenge with entrepreneurs is how to click on and click off and create a work-life balance, particularly if you have a family juggling many roles. So in your life as an entrepreneur, how do you maintain this work-life balance, and what are some of the ways that you accomplish this in the areas of your health, your family, your relationships, and your business?
Yeah, first, I want to destroy the myth also that there is such a thing as work-life balance. It's never in balance, like, and that's not a bad thing. I think we just got to get used to, picture yourself like on a ball with, you know, standing on a board, and it's just that constant balancing act. You want to get comfortable with the tension of balancing, as opposed to thinking you're going to make it to this perfect place where everything's balanced in all areas of your life. There's always going to be one off, balanced, unbalanced area, and you just notice it, and then you flow over there, and you might make more time for that. But one thing I will say is, I was along the lines of health is, those are non-negotiables. I have some non-negotiables. So I know I'm sick, I can't do anything. So I ensure that I have a yoga class, like a Zumba class, or like a jiu-jitsu class, right, that I ensure that I make no matter what. Nothing can get in the way, because I know if I start to let that slide. And sure, I inevitably, you know, once in a while I miss, you know, a class here or there. I miss it for trips. It's not like a perfect thing, but the point is, the mindset is, this, I'm important, I need to feed myself and give myself that well-being base. It's really critical for me to balance my marriage with my husband. So just whether that's date nights or what we just recently created is, you know, our kid is always up. So the only quiet time we get is in the mornings before he's awake. So we've had to like structure our day so that we can all go to bed together, and then me and my husband wake up earlier for a couple hours to get our time in. And then the other piece I would say is just being focused. That sounds easier than done, but I get a lot of requests for me to do event planning that's really not in my niche, or they want it for free, or, you know, whatever. It's all over the map. And I, at this point, am very strict at just saying no to only that which I am the best at, which is event consulting right now. So I'm not doing, like, I started off doing more event planning production, but now I just do consulting, which I get paid several hundred dollars, you know, per hour. So that works out well. It's a good use of my time. With that said, one of my contracts that I was approaching for the business turned into a job offer. So I actually have full-time work and my business right now, just like I was alluding to before. And it's a really great, it sounds like it's more, but it's been a really great balance, because I get to, not just for the stability, but it just generates more opportunities for me to make a social impact, given what I also do is work in social impact in investing. So I was able to blend all the worlds and all my experience from before.
Love those tips in terms of this work-life balance, having those non-negotiables, really important. And I've been hammering this one off, because this has been a theme here at Today's New Women in terms of this work-life balance, having those non-negotiable, doing those routines that are rituals that you have to do regardless, I mean, no matter what. And that is time to take care of yourself, doing yoga, exercise, whatever you do to help keep your body fit, healthy, your mental well-being. Because, yeah, like what Anne said, I mean, your body, your health is the foundation of everything that you do. If you don't have your health, you won't be able to build this business that you're passionate about in the first place. So really important to put those ones in place and be disciplined about it. And I know it's going to be hard because I struggle with this on a daily basis too. But I know when I don't do them, the day is going to be so much harder than if I had done it. So I visualize the great feeling that I feel after I do it, so that would really help me to and motivate me to do my non-negotiables. So try to incorporate that into your life, into your daily activities. Also finding the time to spend with your family, with your husband, having those date nights. I know that's really helpful for me as well. And most important thing, especially for us women, learning to say no. This is so important. So most of the time we don't want to say no because we don't want to hurt somebody, or we don't want to you know, it's just, it's our nature to say yes and to help others as well. But it's not for, if it's not for the interest of you and your business or like that, learn to say no. It can be really hard, but really important to set those limitations and those boundaries. So great tips here that Anna just shared with us. Let's integrate them and let's incorporate them in our daily life so that we can have this work-life balance. And yes, dash that balance away. There's never going to be a balance, and it's not going to be like perfect 50-50 on each side. There is no such thing as like that. So be okay with not being balanced. And that word is not going to be in your vocabulary from now on. So great tips there, Anna. All right, let's talk about... Mm-hmm.
Sorry, one more thing to add is, I think we talk, at least I find myself, I talk or complain about, if I talk about being busy or talk about being overwhelmed, that's, if you complain about time, then that's a pitfall, right? You can... That just takes your mind. There's no such thing as overwhelm, and I'm stealing this from one of my favorite personal professional development companies called Landmark. But like being able to overwhelm is just doing one thing, thinking you're supposed to do another. Mm. So if I were to like typify this, make this a tip, it would be simply no. You're just doing one thing at a time, and that's literally what's happening. And there's even research showing you can't multitask. It's faster to do one thing consecutively at a time. You'll accomplish more than if you did, all five of those things at once. So, some things that I've been able to do too is just like shut down my computer screen and have just one screen up. And I'm surprised. It helps me focus, but it helps me do one thing at a time.
And that is... Yeah, that's such a great tip, and that's such a great way of looking at overwhelm, because it really is doing just one thing at a time, because that removes the overwhelm, because the overwhelm is a result of having too many things. That is so true. I mean, if you change your perspective about it and do it one thing at a time, and yes, multitasking, it's been proven that it's not really healthy and it's not really being productive if you multitask. It's a great tip there too. Now let's talk about success and what success means to you. Your business appears to be financially doing quite well, and with that, success flows into other areas in the entrepreneur's life. Now, we'd like to also say that success is a mindset. I can have $10 in my pocket, but my mind feels like a millionaire. I feel great about myself and I'm moving forward. The opposite way will be a multi-billionaire and be totally miserable. So am I successful? Financially, yes. Individually, probably not. So in your journey as an entrepreneur, what does success mean to you, and what are some of the benchmarks that you use to measure your success?
I think I could boil it down to, for me, success, I think everyone has their own definition, and mine is being true to myself, no matter how uncomfortable it is, or it looks bad to society or to other people because it's not the norm. That's the guiding rule I always measure myself against. And then the benchmark I use is, okay, if I were to, this sounds, well, extreme, but if I were to die today, would I have no regrets or be incomplete with any of my relationships? And just asking that question often has me take actions I may not or I might put off that are important to me and fulfilling for me in living a successful life.
Wow, that is so huge, Sandeep. I love that. Success is being true to yourself. I mean, at the end of the day, I believe that that is what success is really is about. I mean, if you're doing what is that you that's true to you, to your values, that you're making impact in other people's lives because of what you do, that truly is one that is fulfilling. It's a great perspective there. Now, I know you've given us a lot of tips already, but I'd love for us to talk about one of the highlights of our show, and that's your advice for other entrepreneurs and those aspiring to be, especially to those who want to follow your footsteps. You obviously got some lessons learned under your belt of experience. So take it back to the past. Say you're going to start all over again as an entrepreneur and you are in a class with other entrepreneurs who are hungry and thirsty for success or even for making that first buck. What types of special suggestions or advice and lessons that you learn would you give your fellow entrepreneurs, knowing where you came from and where you headed at? And if you could boil them down to your top three tips or advice, what would those three be?
I would say one is expect to fail. See how fast you can move on. And that's what another way to define success. You will fail. If you're not failing enough, then I don't think you'll succeed. That sounds counterintuitive, but that's what I've discovered. Be proud of your failures, and the trick is how fast can you move on. Second thing would be, inside of that, is you just want to keep experimenting with your service or your product. I've always just done services, but, it's going to evolve depending on the market. So just don't get attached to, I think people, especially women, might try to get something super perfect before they go to market, as opposed to just getting a minimally viable product. And a lot of what I'm talking about here is lean thinking, but just get a minimally viable product, enough to start to test, get some feedback, change it up, and think of it like an evolution, not a one set fixed way. And then the final thing would be, set time frames for certain goals. So, and then you just want to surrender yourself to accomplishing that time frame. And I would make those time frames really short. So for example, if I know I want to generate X leads, making X dollars, I need to make X number of dials. So I will do like phone blitzes, I've done that before, where I just call through 100 people and I'll make a game of it, like, okay, in the next 2 days, and then make myself a short script, and then I just pound the phone. And that's more like a campaign. It's not something I could keep up for a while, but then, you can buffer that with just making 10 contacts a day after that blitz. But anyway, that's just an example of focusing on one thing and then just going for it.
Love those. All right, great tips here that Anna just shared with us. Let me just summarize them again for our listeners. So the first one is to expect to fail. Love what you said about see how fast you can move on past that failure. Love that. Really important concept to understand and to embrace. The second one is to keep experimenting with your products or services and not getting attached with it. Really important, especially for our listeners out there who are just starting out. Get your idea out there, iterate, get feedback, and iterate. It will be a lot easier putting your product out there and getting it tested than perfecting it, because it's never going to be perfect. Number three, which is really important as well, is to set time frames for those goals that you want to achieve and make them short, so that will help you. Those deadline really helps, because that works for me. If I set myself a deadline, especially this very short time deadlines, that helps me to work really hard on achieving those goals or milestones. So if that helps motivate you to get to that goal, do them. Put deadlines, make them short term. That way that will encourage you, that will motivate you, and take those actions that is necessary to achieve those goals. So great tips here that Anna just shared with us. Let's take action on them today, and I'll make sure to have them on our show notes. Last but not the least, Anna, share our listeners that one woman out there that you admire the most and why.
Okay, this is tough, but I would say there's this woman named Wilma Rudolph, and she was back in the 1960s or 70s, and she was born with polio. She was the first African-American woman who was told she would never walk. She had braced like up until 9 or 12, I can't exactly remember. And not only did she learn to walk, she became the fastest woman in the world, winning the most gold medals in the 1960s and 70s Olympics. And that's like unreal, because that's like during the civil rights era, that's during the women's movement. So she is like against all odds physically. It blows my mind. Somebody can be born with polio and become the fastest woman in the world, winning the most medals in the world as an American. That's just, wow. and I have this book called Herstory, which is an anthology of all the women leaders since like the beginning of time. And she was one of the people I came across, and I thought, God, it's amazing they don't have a movie about her, right? But I want her story to be known.
Yeah, what an inspiring woman she is, Wilma Rudolph. Yes, you never know, maybe there will be a documentary of her life. She's such an inspiration. So to Wilma for being an inspiration, only to Anna, to you, but to all of us here at Today's Women, we salute her. Lastly, Anna, share our listeners what's one big benefit that they can get with your product or your service, where they can get it, and what's the best way that our listeners can connect with you, and then we'll end from there.
Great. The biggest benefit that people get from my service is being unstoppable and taking the effective actions, no matter what their circumstances are, to achieve whatever business result they're looking for. And that's through my event consulting service. And I just think live events are one of the best ways that you can attract your tribe. Marie was saying this earlier, and build your community and create thought leadership for yourself so that people come to you versus you chasing or cold calling, whatever it might look like, that they actually come to you. So when I'm making my calls, right, people know who I am already, which is really great. And they can find me through my website, and my email is probably the fastest way, anna@joysproutproductions.com, anna@joysproutproductions.com.
All right, so that's www.joysproutproductions.com, or you can email anna@joysproutproductions.com. And I agree with you, live events, you connect more, you at a much, much deeper level doing live events. So if you want to learn more about how to do this, Anna is the expert on this. She does this live events, and you can check them out at www.joysproutproductions.com. I highly encourage you to go there now and learn more about what she does. And if her products and services resonate with you, I highly encourage you to take her up. At least be on her newsletter so you can be updated on what she's putting out there. I know one of the things that we can do, especially to create that great impact, the greater impact, is to do this live event. So really go there and learn more about how this one, how you can apply this in your business, and how you can skyrocket your business by adding this part of a marketing strategy for you. So again, that link is joysproutproductions.com. Email anna@joysproutproductions.com. Anna, thank you so much for being so generous in sharing your time, your inspiring story, your expertise, for being a role model to many, and for bringing such a positive energy with our listeners today. Women of the world, including me, appreciate you and wish you more success in business and in your life.
Thank you.
Thinking of starting a podcast? Seriously consider starting a podcast of your own, remembering that it will allow you to grow in ways you never imagined. It will grow your email list, your audience, your influence, and your bank account. Go to podcastprofitsystem.com to get started. That's www.podcastprofitsystem.com.
Feeling inspired and empowered to make it happen? Then take the next step and go get your free guide to the top 10 resources that today's leading women use to stay at the top of their game, plus Marie's favorite today. Visit todaysleadingwomen.com/guide for your free download, and we'll see you on the next episode of Today's Leading Women with Marie Grace Berg.